scripture reading is Matthew 13, verses 2 to 9. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." May God add blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
So, calling all of the gardeners out there, how is your garden doing this warm, wet summer? Pretty good, right? I hope so. We planted squash, sunflowers, snapdragons, cilantro, basil, tomatoes, parsley, peppers, kale, eggplant, Brussels sprouts, and a few other things. We had a luscious patch on one part of the garden, and then this lean patch over here. We transplanted a few of the puniest plants. We weeded and mulched and started nibbling on our kale and our herbs. And then 3 weeks ago, I left for annual conference. So by the time we got back last week, the squash had overtaken everything but the tallest tomatoes and sunflowers. Some of the leaves are as large as beach balls, vining in all directions through the tomato cages. We balked, laughed, shook our heads, and then got out some clippers so we could find those herbs and veggies we'd been looking forward to eating. Some of you are serious gardeners, but even if you have just flirted with flowers or looked into landscaping, I bet you can relate to the sower in today's parable. We have so little control over what grows from the earth, just where and when it pops up, and even when something grows, keeping up with pests and threats remind us how little power we have in a plant's destiny. Biblical scholars and the rest of us who read scripture say that to plumb the depths of a parable, we should try on each character in the story. What does this parable provoke in me when I am the sower? What does this parable provoke in me when I am the seed? Or maybe you relate to the birds, or the thorns, or the path. Most people read this story as the seeds, thinking that God or Jesus is the sower, and we, people of faith, are the seeds. So if you're like most Christians, you hear this story and start analyzing yourself. Am I a strong plant in good soil, producing outrageous harvests of righteousness, generosity, compassion, self-control, and all of those spiritual fruits? Doubt creeps in. We know we're not perfect. We know we do miss opportunities to lend a hand or share our time or give money or spread the good news. Who are you in this story? Seed eaten by birds on the path, or withering without roots, or choked by thorns and weeds? This parable of the sower is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, Jesus explains the first seeds, the ones that fell on the rock, this way. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is the seed sown on the path." Now, since we're all here in a faith community, seeking God, striving to live in the way of Jesus, I think we can confidently say that we're not that seed that fell on the path and got eaten by birds right away. Jesus goes on to say of the seed that withered under the scorching sun on the rocks, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. Does that sound like you? This might be us, at least from time to time. But our roots are deep enough that we're here today, engaging faith and community when we could be sleeping in or watching TV or otherwise avoiding struggle. But do you ever wither in the midst of trouble? Probably. Most of us have kept silent in the face of persecution at least once, whether we were failing to speak up for what Christ has taught us, or failing to defend someone being bullied, or failing to stand up for ourselves. This story implies that we, theoretically the faithful, finishing the story with Jesus, are the seeds that fall in good soil, have no troubles, and yield abundant grain. But that doesn't fit either. We fall short. We fail to be fruitful. We have trouble. Jesus says of the seeds among weeds, as for what was sown among thorns or weeds, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. I feel like the seed among weeds. Maybe you do too. Dealing with the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, and still yielding rich physical, emotional, and spiritual nourishment on our best days, we do this in the midst of flooded soil, or scorching sun, or choking weeds, biting thorns, and pesky critters. As strong plants among weeds, we have a hardier story to tell than the simplistic way that we could read this parable. What is a weed, after all? It's a plant we don't want. But weeds to one person might be a salad of lamb's quarter to another. We can't see the big picture. We can't see the future. And we don't know what God's plan for thistles or buckhorn might be. But didn't every plant come from God's design? As seeds among weeds, we're surrounded by other people who on some days seem like healthy, fruitful plants and on other days seem rather weedy. We should trust that we seem like weeds to other people some days too. When we're impatient on the phone with customer service or avoid eye contact with the person asking for money, or when we yell at our spouse or our kids or the dog because we're having a bad day. And the weeds that we live with aren't always other people. They can be the traumas, the distractions, the disappointments that we live with. Who would you be without those weeds in your life? Without the heartbreaks and illness and assaults and injustice, who would you be? Would you have grown as tall, stretching beyond all those weeds to soak up the sun's rays? Would you have grown as strong, keeping yourself upright as invaders and intruders lean into you? Would your skin have grown so thick, protecting yourself from attack? Would you have become so colorful, attracting bees and butterflies to your flowers to pollinate you? If you had grown up a potted plant, sheltered from wind and beetles, nourished with consistent water and specialized soil, fed with sunlight and grow lights, protected from competitive weeds or hungry rabbits, how satisfying would your yield be? We wear scars and bear injuries because of thorns and weeds. The truth is that what harms us can eventually benefit us, and that doesn't justify the harm. It doesn't mean it's God's plan, and it doesn't mean we should idealize or idolize suffering. But we can still find benefits from thorns and weeds. At this year's Church of the Brethren annual conference, we realized once again that there are deep divisions among us. Not only do we disagree about all sorts of theological and political issues, We have serious conflict about what topics we should even be talking about. For some people, racial justice and equality for LGBTQ people are essential parts of God's vision for humanity. For others, these topics are distracting weeds, dangerous thorns that endanger God's plan for humanity. Who decides what's a fruitful plant and what's a weed? This parable of the sower, or if we read it this way, it's really the parable of the seeds, makes more sense in Palestine. Around here, we don't plant by tossing seeds here and there. Usually we dig a bit, put in a seed, and cover it up. But broadcast seeding, scattering seed, was common in Jesus' day, and some farmers in Palestine still plant this way. I traveled in Palestine and Israel with Christian peacemaker teams several years ago, and I watched Palestinian farmers plant. After spreading seed, farmers return and plow the land, covering at least some of those seeds in soil. Farming in such a dry, rocky land is truly an act of faith, but it's an essential one because most Palestinians don't have options for earning money to buy food at grocery stores. Like this farmer in the small village of Atuani, with fewer than 200 residents, they couldn't have their own schoolhouse, so the children walked about a mile to the next town for school. Along the way, they passed an illegal settlement of extremist Israelis, and they would throw stones at the children, taunt them, harass them. So the village asked Christian peacemaker teams to walk these children to school. And for years they did. And some of these extremist Israeli settlers harassed the Christian peacemaker teams, even attacked them with chains. These extremist settlers also poisoned the village well, killed livestock, and fired shots at the farmers in their fields. The villagers studied nonviolent movements. They read King and Gandhi by candlelight. Electricity came an hour or two a day, or not at all. They welcomed guests from around the world to learn with them. There is nothing thornier than these struggles. Yet these weeds have not choked the life of the village of Atuani. What would these people yield if they were not victims of violence and oppression? We will never know. But amidst thorns, this village yields creativity and ingenuity in the women's sewing cooperative. Working without machines, women choose to add this extra job into their long days to raise money to build a school in their village, keeping their children close and safe. Kifa is the leader of the Women's Sewing Co-op. She learned to write so that she could write grant proposals. She travels to other countries to speak about Atuani, yielding new opportunities for all of this village's children, especially the girls who see a woman celebrated for leadership. Without the cruel weed of violence, Atuani wouldn't foster this creativity and solidarity. And though it took them several years, they have built their own school. Whatever the weeds are in your life, what use can you find for them? How do they help your roots grow deep and your spine grow strong? Those thorns, the struggles that keep you from celebrating yourself, sharing yourself in relationships, contributing yourself here, might it be that these weeds are the very reason you have something to offer? May we be a community that flourishes together and empowers each person here to yield great gifts. May we be a community that fosters good soil, physically and emotionally and spiritually. And what's up with that sower, anyway, who scatters seed onto a footpath, into thorns and onto rocks? Where's the test garden, the straight rows, the climate control, the irrigation? Where's the scarecrow? What if Jesus didn't tell this parable so that we would all worry that our roots are too shallow or wonder if we're too distracted by weeds? What if Jesus told this parable so we would scatter the good news like candy in a parade or rice at a wedding, like blowing bubbles or spreading rose petals or sharing pictures of a new grandchild? What if Jesus tells this story to remind us to love that good news so much that we send it out into the world with abundance and abandon, sharing what we love without fretting about the outcome. I think about that squash taking over our garden. We planted some of it, but even more came up as volunteers. The squash that we didn't pick last fall because we couldn't find it under the beach ball size leaves, some of those squash rotted. Some of its seeds found freedom and new life and erupted this year into our garden. We did make plans. We plotted rows. We marked butternut here and acorn there, and the squash laughs. Good news. God is a sloppy sower, loving life so much that God sends it out into every corner of creation, taking delight when we flourish, ooing and aahing when we bloom, and trying over and over again when we wither. If you are a tidy gardener, please don't take this metaphor too literally. Go ahead and plant straight rows and pull weeds, but what do you love so much that you sow it everywhere you go? What do you believe in so deeply that you will share that good news even when nobody's cheering you on? Follow your heart. Let your passion lead you, Scripture says. Even to God's people in exile, the prophet proclaims on God's behalf, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." We will sing these words later in the service, but for now, I invite you to simply listen as Lauren plays the hymn. Tune into the song. Tune in to God's nudges in your heart. Where does your whole heart lead you?